It's Here and Now. I'm Jeremy Hobson. And over the weekend, I saw the new movie Elysium, which won the weekend at the box office. It stars Matt Damon and Jodie Foster, and it is a sci-fi movie set in the year 2154. Earth is a very unpleasant place. It's filled with slums and is plagued by disease and pollution. But for the ultra-rich, there is a space station of sorts called Elysium, where the air is pure, the homes are beautiful, and medical problems can be solved with the flip of a switch. It is just the latest film to tackle the issue of income inequality, and joining us now to talk about it is Linda Holmes, host of NPR's Monkey See blog. Linda, welcome back.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well, just for people that haven't seen this movie, I want to play a little clip. This is Jodie Foster playing Defense Secretary Delacorte up in Elysium. There is a ship of immigrants coming towards Elysium, and she orders that they be shot down.
10,000 kilometers and closing.
Shoot them down.
Missiles away.
So shooting down the immigrants, this is really taking the haves and the have-nots to the extreme, Linda.
Yes, that is definitely the case. She's pretty determined to keep them away.
Well, what is the message of this movie, do you think?
I think the story he's trying to tell, and Neil Blomkamp, who is the writer-director of this movie, is a South African director who previously did a movie called District 9, which was really an apartheid allegory. And I think this movie is a broader story about the way that people who are extremely rich segregate themselves from people who are very poor. He's said in interviews he considers this to be not a sci-fi world, but really the world that we already have. So I think it's trying to get people to think about things like rich people having much more access to health care, which is a major theme of the movie.
Yeah, on Elysium, we should say they have these med beds where you can just get in them and it will cure you of any problem that you might have.
Right. Rich people seem to have them in their houses.
Yeah.
And yet nobody has them on Earth. So it's a massive difference between crowded public hospitals on Earth and these med beds on Elysium. So a lot of it is about those differences between the way people live.
You say it's the world we already have, but I did notice that the scenes that are supposed to represent Los Angeles in the year 2154 were actually shot in parts of Mexico City. So it is taking what exists now to an extreme.
Oh, absolutely. And I think when he says it's the world we have now, he means in effect, not literally. It obviously is scientifically different and it's sociologically different. I think what he's saying is that the systems in the movie are meant to reflect systems that he sees, you know, in society right now.
Well, is it the kind of movie that you walk out of the theater and you just worry for the future, do you think?
I'm not sure it's going to worry anyone for the future who isn't already worried for the future. I think it's one of those movies that a little bit plays into its intended audience's feelings about wealth and, you know, demonizing rich people in the movies and setting them up as the ones who are making life difficult for everyone else is not a new thing. That is a very, very classic theme in movies, in dramas, in comedies, and especially in sci-fi.
Well, let's talk about a few of them. In Time is another sci-fi movie. It starred Justin Timberlake. Let's listen to a clip of that.
I'm timekeeper Raymond Leon.
I'm Will Salas.
I know. Where did you get that?
A man named Henry Hamilton gave me over a century. He said he didn't need it anymore. It was a gift. I'm not a thief. But hey, if you guys are looking for stolen time, maybe you should arrest everyone here.
Oh, I see. You're talking about justice. I am a timekeeper. I don't concern myself with justice. I only concern myself with what I can measure.
So, Linda, time is the currency of the day in this movie, and the haves have it and the have-nots don't.
Right. And in fact, sort of like Elysium, which translates wealth into access to health care, In Time translates wealth into how long you get to live. So that you have a much more pressing, it's a very dramatic thing to have a much more pressing translation of wealth. It doesn't just mean you have more money. It means you get to live longer. And In Time, it means that in a very literal way.
Well, let's go back way into the vault now to the movie Titanic. We can't really talk about income inequality in the movies without mentioning that one. Here's a clip from Titanic.
You can't keep us locked in here like animals. The ship's bloody sinking.
Break ball at the women. Unlock the gates.
Women only.
I just should mention that we have now been through films with Matt Damon, Justin Timberlake, and Leonardo DiCaprio. But tell us about Titanic, Linda.
You know, it might seem like we're skipping around, but in all honesty, if you think about the lifeboats in Titanic, there's a real similarity between the lifeboats in Titanic and the space station in Elysium. It's a way for wealthy people to escape the fate of poor people. And it's sci-fi in Elysium, and in Titanic, it's very literal and historic, you know, historically based. So despite the fact that those movies are massively different in tone and in genre, they're really both telling a similar story in that part of the movie about how rich people sort of stick it to poor people and go off by themselves and say, you guys are on your own.
And I just also want to mention a comedy that we should talk about, Trading Places, which stars both Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd. Let's listen to a golden oldie from that one.
Well, William, what do you think?
I like it, Randy. It's very nice. I like the way you got the mirrors and stuff hooked up over there. It's very pretty. I like that. I like that mirror.
I don't think he understands, Randolph.
Oh, but Marty, I do understand.
William.
Do. Yes.
This is your home.
Uh-huh.
Right. It belongs to you.
Yeah, all this is mine. I like my home. It's very nice. I have very nice tasting houses. I like
everything
it.
You see in this room is yours now.
Uh-huh. This is my stuff.
I think that people were probably more concerned with laughing their way through that movie than thinking about income inequality.
Oh, absolutely. But that movie came out when we were looking at wealth and being rich in a really different way. It was 1983. People were in a different headspace about wealthy people. And the thing that makes that movie so interesting to me is that on the one hand, the rich old guys in that movie are the bad guys. But unlike these other movies where ultimately the wealthy people have to be vanquished, in Trading Places, again, a comedy, but the ultimate point and the ultimate triumph is to wind up just like them, really wealthy and living on a beach, not doing anything. So it's a different sort of relationship between how people in the movies are looking at wealth.
So, Linda, we've heard about a movie there from 1983, from 1997, from 2011, and from 2013. And yet, I'm not sure you could say that our policy on income inequality in this country has changed dramatically because of any of these films.
No, I think when you make a film, it's very difficult for particularly any one film or any piece of culture to, on its own, really move the ball as far as how people think about an issue that's so hard to get your arms around. I think if you're Neil Blomkamp or any of these filmmakers, if you have a hope for your film, it's that people will at least be motivated to start having these conversations and to start thinking about, well, you know, what is the equivalent of having a med bed in one place and a crowded city hospital in another place? But no, on their own, no one thing moves the ball.
Linda Holmes is the host of NPR's Monkey See blog. She joins us regularly on Here and Now. Linda, thanks.
Thank you.
And Magnet, can you tell what this is?
I'm afraid to guess, actually.
It is My Heart Will Go On. It's an instrumental version by the City of Prague Philharmonic. We had talked about maybe playing the theme at the end from Elysium, but I figured since it came out over the weekend, nobody would know what it sounded
maybe
like.
Maybe we should have taken that chance.
Well, by the way, Elysium made $30.5 million at the box office when it opened. It was the top grossing movie. Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston.
Our director is Alex Ashlock. He produces along with Lynn Menegon, Emiko Tamagawa, Hitesh Hathi, Jill Ryan, Catherine Gorman.
There's also Rachel Rohr, Natalie Winston, Eileen Balinski, Karen Miller-Medson, and the newest member of our staff, Erica Morrison. Erica, welcome.
Our production assistant is Kainat Khan. Our newscast producer is Rachel Pace.
Our technical director is Doug Sugarts with help from Jim Kiesling and John Parati. Our managing editors are Kevin Sullivan and Chris Ballman. Kathleen McKenna is the senior producer of Here and Now.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is Here and Now.